Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mommy Faceted Podcast, a podcast for Black moms who are juggling motherhood, career, and real life. And I'm your host, Rachel Pierre. Today on the podcast, I have Catherine Finney, and she is literally one of the most influential women in tech. She's an entrepreneur, she's a social media visionary and investor, especially of Black women, a writer, and a huge advocate for women. She's a mom and a wife as well. So I was so happy to have her on. She is sharing about her unconventional journey to motherhood and what she's doing to help the women around her support them as she grows in motherhood and life and really do the things that she was called to do. To find more about Catherine, head over to the show notes at mommyfaceted.com, and there you'll see all of the links and everything to find out about Catherine and her Dooney Fund. If you are not following on Instagram, please make sure that you are also following Mommy Faceted there. We have some changes coming up, and I want y'all to be fully aware of them. So you can head over there or head over to mommyfaceted.com/community. All right, now let's get into the interview. Hi, Catherine. How are you? And welcome to the Mommy Faceted Podcast.
Hi, Rachel. It's great to be on.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. I just mentioned I'm a big fan, so I wanted to put it out there to the audience. So I'm super excited about this conversation. So first, I like to ask everyone, before you became a mom, is it something that you always knew would be in your plans? You know, did you always dream about becoming a mom, or were you kind of hesitant, nervous about it? What were those beginning days like for you?
You know, I always knew that I was going to become a mom. I think, you know, it was a lot of things that kind of happened during the process. You know, my husband and I, we had real fertility challenges and really had to think about what type of family did we want? Like, what does it mean to be a mom? And had to ask myself, does giving birth make you a mother? Right. Yeah. Is that the path to motherhood, or is there other ways that you can be a mother? And so we actually adopted my son. And we were there during the whole process of, with his birth mom. I was the second person he saw when he was born. And he's five now, and he knows he's adopted. We don't, shy away from it, but it has taught me a lot about what it means to be a mother. And I think for a lot of women out there who are going through fertility challenges, who know that they want to be a mother, who've always seen that path, to know that there are many ways to get there and to create space where we don't pass judgment on how people get to motherhood. I think it's been like one of the biggest things that I've learned in sort of thinking about it. So I've always wanted to be a mom. I didn't know it was going to be that hard.
Yeah, right.
I mean, even like just, you know, becoming my son's mother. And then of course, after you have your child, it becomes a whole other thing. It reorders your life, right?
Absolutely.
It completely reorders your life.
And yeah, your priorities. It does. So I'd like to kind of go to that period, you know, when you all decided that your route would be adoption. Do you feel like that, you know, those emotions, was that mostly from an internal feeling, you know, like that judgment that you were talking about, was that mostly internal, or do you think, or did you feel, or did you notice just like the external comments and looks and stigma and those kind of things, or was it kind of a mixture of both for you?
I think for us, being in New York City at the time where we lived was an enormous advantage because you have all sorts of families there in New York, all sorts of types and different types of families and types of parenting and things. So it created a space where it was like not abnormal to adopt. It was not abnormal to have surrogacy. It wasn't abnormal to go through IVF. It wasn't abnormal to have natural childbirth. You know, all the types of different births and paths to motherhood were open and explored. And so I was really, really fortunate. I think for me, it was this deep sense of wanting to be a mother.
Yeah.
And wanting to nurture something. And I think motherhood, I think, is the closest you get to really, I think it's a connection with the universe that you have as a mother. It's a really deep connection because you're literally fostering a human being it's own entity, basically, right? Who's outside of you, even if you're genetically linked to them.
Yeah.
That this person is outside of you. You are literally contributing to the universe with this person. And it was just a deep need inside of me. And I can't even explain it.
Yeah.
And it's been one of the hardest, but also the greatest thing I've probably done in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. As it should be. I mean, like you said, you are raising a whole entire person, and there's so many facets and areas and just so many things that need to be covered and talked about and cared for, you know, all of these things that have to go into, you know, raising our children who we absolutely love. And so, you know, it definitely deserves that challenge. So I would love to know, you know, obviously you've had a full, you know, successful career, and you had, you know, challenges becoming pregnant, and then you adopted. In that transition phase, how did motherhood impact you as a professional? You know, like the differences, and, you know, you've transitioned in your career, you know, through different, you know, organizations and, you know, quite a few big transitions. So just, you know, I would love to know the impact of motherhood once, you know, your son was finally here and, you know, at home with you. Like, what did that immediately look like for you?
You know, it was a shift. And frankly, I feel like I didn't, you know, I think every mother is like hypercritical of yourself.
Yeah.
In hindsight, like, I felt like I didn't spend enough time with my son.
Okay.
Like, but there's all these pictures of me. Like, I used to carry him on me all the time. Like, literally, I had, the stretchy wrap? Not the Kobe wrap. It's like the stretchy, like.
Moby.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I had a Moby. I had like a couple of different Mobys, like very fashionable colors, of course. Okay. And I had Moby, and there's this picture of me, like, carrying him and working. And what I realized is, like, I used to, like, just strap him to me and work, because the Moby was so great. This is not an advertisement for the Moby, but it was really great because I could put him on me and he could hear my heart and he could just be right next to me. Mm-hmm. And I could also type and do work at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I felt like I wasn't there, but then I was like, oh my God, he was with me all the time. That kid was like strapped to me like 24/7. And so in hindsight, it's like I was there, but I think it's really hard to balance because especially, you know, some of the people I was working with at the beginning didn't have children and they didn't understand. And there's this constant friction between those who have kids and those who don't have kids, particularly in a space like tech. And so not understanding there was just some things I couldn't do, or not understanding, you know, why am I asleep at 2 p.m.? That's because that's when my son was asleep. Right. And I need to nap and sleep when he was sleeping because, you know.
You have to.
I have to get it in where I can get it in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that was really difficult for some people. Also for some people who didn't like see the process because I wasn't pregnant, right? Being a fairly private person, like I don't talk about like my challenges. Not that I wouldn't, it's just not, you know, being very Midwestern, it's like, we don't talk about your problems. You just kind of solve it and move on. And so I think for people, they didn't understand like the journey to becoming a mother and how fraught that was and how expensive and how emotional it was, because I didn't show it. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk about it. I wasn't like on the gram, you know, talking about it all the time. And so they weren't able to participate in the process to even get themselves ready for it. And those who were close knew what was going on.
Right.
One of my business partner at the time, Darlene Giller Jones, who's also one of my closest friends, is my son's godmother. She knew very much what was going on. It was like very involved and huge support. She had 2 children of her own, but others didn't. And I think that was the challenge. You know, I think to understand the amount of balancing you have to do as a mother, I think it's very hard for people who don't have children.
Yeah.
the amount of balancing you have to do in your relationship, whoever your partner may be, like, how do you balance that? And particularly now in this pandemic, it's, you know, everybody's working. Like, my husband is an engineer at Microsoft. He has his own career, very successful career. And we both have stuff that we have to do at the same time. So how do we decide whose stuff is more important? How do you balance that? Like, you know, all of those sort of things were a challenge for people. And I think I didn't even understand how much of a challenge it was until I became a mother.
I was going to say that, you know, when you mentioned that other people don't understand how much it is to balance. And I think we don't know it either, like you said, until we get into this space where one thing is just so far to the left. And then we realize, you know, hey, I haven't spent any time with my husband this week, or I haven't, you know, checked in my, you know, with my parents, or, you know, whatever it is that has to fall at that time. I think we don't, you know, that's kind of sometimes when we really realize we have to, you know, shift back. Is that the same for you, or do you, you know, how do you kind of handle that when you realize the amount of imbalance that, you know, maybe you're experiencing?
You know, one of the things I start to do is create spaces for myself to breathe. And what I realize is, and, you know, people call it mindfulness or meditation or what have you, is like when you take that moment, and I remember how hard it was particularly when my son was like two, and, you know, 2 year olds are like always up in like everything. And he would just like bust into the door, and I used to hide in my closet.
Because that, you know, may, like, or may not be where, you know, I am right now.
Right? Like, you gotta hide. It's like, you gotta find a hiding spot, right? It's like, let me hide in the closet, because this dude, he was like, you know, Inspector Gadget. He would find me. He was a detective. He could find me. And so I had to create space, even if it was 5 minutes, for myself to breathe, just to take a pause. And it helped me sort of organize what I need to do, whose time I needed to focus on at that moment, who needed me most. Was it him that needed me most right now? Was it, you know, my job that needed me most? Or was it my husband that needed me most? Was it my family that needed, you know, like, it really, like, taking that pause and that mindfulness and that breath has been what has saved me. Because I think when you're a mom, you just go on autopilot. You just find yourself just doing stuff, and you're like, why am I even doing this? Like, it's just autopilot. And I think also now too, there's a lot of pressure to be like a perfect mom. And to know if you're doing it right, you know, like, I was saying to someone, it's this constant fear that, like, am I messing him up? Am I doing something that's messing him up? Like, you know, like, I want to make sure I'm not messing him up, right? Like, everything I'm doing is helping him be a good human being. You know, and so I think being able to take that pause has been really helpful in managing anxiety of, like, am I doing what needs to be done? And that has been really hard. My son's birthday was a week ago, and I was telling someone about how when he was two, I was like in some place, I don't even remember, it was someplace far away, and I flew in for, this was like maybe 2 days before his second birthday, and I spent literally until 4 a.m. baking cupcakes that looked like Elmo. Why did I feel like I could have gone and bought Elmo cupcakes, right? Like, I didn't have to, like, make them, but it felt like it was maybe like guilt from being gone that I felt like I got to make these Elmo cupcakes. Like, this is, it's on me to make the Elmo cupcakes, and they need to look like Elmo. And of course, you know, being the overachiever, I studied Elmo cupcakes. I studied like how to make Elmo color. I like watched, like, I was on the plane watching videos about how to make, like, you know, fondant noses and, like, you know,
gotta be perfect.
Gotta be perfect. And so I made these cupcakes, and in the morning he woke up and he was like two, and he saw the cupcakes and he said, Elmo, like, really excited. And I started to bawl, because it was like all the effort, and I did it for this moment. And that moment was, like, so worth it, because he you know, he's two. I don't think he even knew, you know, when you're in two, I don't even think he knew that I was up all night, but he knew that mommy made Elmo cupcakes and it looked like Elmo. And he was really excited because Elmo was his dude. And, like, you know, But knowing as a mom that you don't have to do everything, that you don't have to be perfect. And there's other moms in our community who, you know, I've often pulled to the side and said, you know what, you don't got to do this. It's okay. Yeah. They'll be okay. Mm-hmm. You know?
They'll
be all right. There's one mom in particular who I feel is like always stressed about whether or not she works in tech too, and whether or not she's doing enough. And I'm like, you are enough. Mm-hmm. You are more than enough.
Yeah. I love that you're kind of talking, you know, two different things. One, you know, sometimes it is okay for us to go that extra measure. Obviously, you know, there are children, we love them, and we want to have those moments where they're just, you know, full of joy and delight. But then on the other side, it's okay to just let certain things go. So I think, you know, what you're saying about taking that moment to breathe and really think about, you know, do I want to spend that time and that energy doing this? Is it going to be worth it in the payoff? And sometimes it is, you know, sometimes it is worth it to stay up late and do the thing. And sometimes it's okay to just, you know, I'm going to go to bed, I'm shut it down. And you know,
buy some cupcakes.
Yeah, exactly. Go buy some.
I think it was more so for me the fact that you recognized the Elmo cupcakes. It was more so like I almost felt, and my son's older now, and obviously I can say so. It's almost like he just had a birthday party in which I decorated our whole sort of yard. It was outdoors. It was only like three kids. Everybody had masks on, and I decorated the whole yard. And, you know, he was like, Mommy, that was the best birthday I've ever had. Mm. And it was like, you know, for him, it was like, not only we did decorations together as a family, I think it was more so like the time we spent together. Yeah. We made little cupcakes, which is a thing. We made cupcakes for all his like little friends, and we made the cupcakes together. And I think it was more this spending time together doing it. Not that the cupcakes and he had all this stuff. It was, we did it together and he got to spend time. And that was like really important for him.
Yeah.
And I think as a mom, having it look perfect is not the goal. It's the fact that you do it together and they get to spend time with you, and realizing that time really is what your kids want from you, is your time.
Absolutely. I think, when we look at it, that is all they really need. I think of all the things that my son will show me on, you know, his tablet, like, oh, I want this and I want that. But then when we sit and play with a puzzle that I got from the Dollar Tree, he's like in love with it, and he just, that's all he wants. So yeah, it doesn't have to be super complicated. So I'd love to kind of flip to the sort of more professional side. And talk about some of your work. I mean, you've been really dedicated to investing in and supporting Black and Brown women. And I would love to know kind of what you think would be great support for Black mothers. Like, what can we kind of do? What are you seeing as opportunities for yourself or for others to kind of really help this population?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the things is allowing us to like rest. Speaking of someone, you know, offering support, and I think as Black mothers, accepting it is a big thing. Like, you know, the biggest lesson I learned is someone offers to help you, especially in the early days, take it.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's someone that you trust. I remember when I had first moved to Atlanta, Christian was, my son was like 6 months. My husband had just gotten a very new job at Microsoft. It was a big job. He had to travel and do all these different things. And I was like exhausted. I was like bad. I was just crazy. I was going to say a bad word. I was like really exhausted, really didn't know, had, you know, moved to an area where I didn't have a support system. Felt like I was failing at everything. And I had a conversation with my mom, who at the time lived in New Mexico. And she said, do you need me to come help you? And I was thinking that she was going to come for like a week or something. She's like, no, do you need me to move to Atlanta to help you? And I was like, yeah, I do. I do. I really do need you to come. I need help. And the generosity of her doing that, because she had a fabulous life and, you know, living it up in the mountains. But the generosity of her doing that was so important to me. And then also me realizing that I needed it. I think as a Black mom in particular, I think we don't often get the space to say that, you know what, I need help.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. I'm overwhelmed. Like, I need help. And we don't ask it of our companies and the places we work. We don't ask it of our family. We don't ask it of our friends. You know, one of the biggest things you can do as a friend, there's a mom who, you know, lives in our complex. She's a single mom, recently single. And I was like, her daughter is super adorable, cute, friends with my son. I said, do you want us to take her for like, you know, a couple of hours where you go take a nap? Like, you go take a nap or do whatever you want to do, wash your hair, whatever. We'll take her. She can come play down here. We'll watch her. And she was like, and she started to cry. She's like, yes.
Wow.
I need that. And so I think the type of support we need as Black and Brown moms is sometimes just people asking, not even asking if we're okay, because that's such a loaded question now, but like actually saying, you know what, let me watch her, you know, or why don't you bring the kids over? It'd be great for them to play. We can put on masks and everyone can go outside. Like, and we'll do that for a couple of hours where you do what you need to do. It's just like, you know, because I feel like as Black moms, we won't necessarily ask for help.
You're not going to say it. Okay? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for someone to just plain offer, particularly when you're another mom, to just offer to help, like, and say, and you make it, can maybe even make it seem like it's not offering the help. Like, with the girl down the street, you know, so Tobias or Christian wants to play with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can they have a play date? And you don't have to stay around. Why don't you go? Because I know you have some things you might want to do. So we got them. Just doing stuff like that, I think it's the type of support we kind of need. You know, hey, I made too much dinner tonight. Can I bring some over for you?
Yeah, yeah. Make you it know, about like, you when it's, yeah.
Cause I know you're balancing a lot. Like, you know, hey, I'm going to make a big dinner. I like to cook. Can I cook a little bit extra and bring over some for you guys?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like little stuff like that. Those are the times where it's been the biggest support for me, has been like people just offering to do things without me having to ask, they just know, right? We know you're tired.
Right.
I know you need help. Like my mama said, I know you need help because I raised two kids. I know you need help. I'm coming, right?
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Want me to come? I'm coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the type of support we need.
Yeah, I love that. I think you're so right, and you're hitting the nail on the head for all of us, probably. So last two questions that I ask. Mm-hmm. First is, what are you doing right now that is just for you?
Ooh, so there's two things. One, well, it's not just for me because my family does it with me, but we started hiking.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought like cool hiking boots. I have a hiking backpack because we're like, what can we do? We can't go nowhere. We can't go to the movies. We can't travel, which is a big thing we used to do. So how do we get out and reconnect? And so hiking is virtually free in the national parks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we do that. But the thing that I do solely for myself, I created a whole like bed bath routine. So I got myself a new bathroom. Yes.
Okay.
So I was like, look, we stuck here. We stuck.
Yeah. We're looking at it. Mm-hmm.
And I bought myself, so I have a really nice bathtub. I bought myself really nice bath oils that no one can use or touch. And I have threatened people in my house. If you touch my bath oils, I'm just letting you know.
It's
my bathroom. I have my own bathroom. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you got kids, particularly if you've got like little boys, they just, I mean,
nothing is,
you know,
wrong. Yeah.
Like, you don't need that bath oil. You're okay. And so I got really nice bath oils. I got like a whole sort of lavender bed mist. I got some good sheets. I got a good humidifier, you know, like, and created this whole sleeping situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it has like totally been something for me. And anyone can do it. You don't need a new bathroom to do that. But just even like, look, when y'all go to bed, mommy gets into the bath. Sometimes I have a little glass of wine. Sometimes, you know, I just, you know, just creating this whole like ambiance atmosphere. Sometimes I light some candles and just like zone out. Sometimes I watch like Real Housewives, which is something I totally do for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Ratchet TV that I like. I'll watch it in the bathtub, you know, on my phone, like all of those sort of things. That is what I do for myself.
Perfect. I love it. And then last question is, what is the number one thing you must have or must do to keep all of the balls in the air?
Having time to breathe. Mm-hmm. Like being able just to take a breath. One of the things I've done with my schedule, and I'm very privileged, because I've figured out like how to be the best me, that I need help in order to be the best me. And I've really figured out what type of help I need. And so one of the things that's been really helpful is, you know, having people and making sure that I honor the people who help me be me, right? Whether it be my assistant, whether it be my mom, whether it be even my son, like, you know, making sure that I honor the people who help me do the work that I need to be able to do. And so one of the things that I've started to do is to give myself permission to take space. So, you know, I always have at least 30-minute cushion between calls, because you could literally be on a call back to back. You could be on Zoom for 8 hours a day, back to back to back to back to back. And I was like, I can't do that. I need some space in between. I need to be able to take a bio break. I need to be able to eat lunch. I need to be able to drink some water. I need to be able to do whatever. And so what helps me keep all the ball in the air is taking space, which it seems counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
But it actually helps me do more because I'm able to focus on the things that are in front of me versus having my mind be somewhere else, because I was able to take a break and collect my thoughts and get myself together and get prepared for the next thing.
Yeah, that's good to kind of step back. And I think we definitely devalue that time that we need throughout our day.
We value busy. It's a very American thing. Don't do that to yourself. Like being busy doesn't validate you. It just makes you more stressed.
It does.
Like being mindful of your time and how you block it and what you're doing, that is what's going to lead to happiness, not being busy.
Absolutely. Perfect. I love that. Well, thank you, Catherine, so much for making the time to be on the podcast. And I really appreciate all of the things that you shared. You know, I know you mentioned you're a private person, so I definitely appreciate you kind of giving us some insight into how you're doing all of these things that you're doing while raising your family.
Thank you. And I'm so happy that you're doing this. I think as women of color, as mother of color, we deserve all the support we can get, and we are doing well. And I think for everyone to know that you are doing well, you are doing well. Even when you're not doing well, you're doing well.
You're still doing well.
Awesome.
Hey mama, I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did. For show notes and information about today's guest, head over to mommyfaceted.com. Also, make sure to follow Mommy Faceted on social media. That's Instagram and Facebook, at Mommy Faceted, and there you'll find some stuff that doesn't make it to the podcast, whether that's more information about me, what's going on behind the scenes with my family, information about our guests, and other little things about motherhood that may surprise you, may encourage you, and inspire you. Also, if you have a moment, please, please, please take some time to write a review. Whether you're listening in iTunes or Apple Podcasts, you can write a review and let me know which guests you like, which topics you're enjoying. Just share your thoughts. If you're listening on any other player, whether that's Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you can find the podcast, make sure to subscribe so that you get notifications when the next episode comes out. All right. Thank you so much for listening, and I pray you have a great week.